Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me again. It's T-Ron. That's T-E-A-R-O-N, period. And it's another Tuesday, so we are definitely doing another series review. We're doing a review. It's Tuesday, yes. Okay? Yes. And I am here with...
Hey, y'all. It's me, Tierra Janae. I'm excited to be here and talk to you, T-Ron, and do another review as we do every week, every Tuesday.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Tierra, I am actually surprised that we're this far into doing these reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And this is technically... Not even technically, this is actually our first Nollywood review feature, right?
It is.
I really am surprised by that because I feel like we already did something, but we didn't.
That's because you watch the movies on your own and your own spare time. So yeah, we haven't done it here.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, today we are going to put some respect on Nollywood's name.
Well, yeah,
we're going to shed some light. So we're going to travel to Nigeria with this review, and we're going to get into it, but we're going to give it in our perspective because at the end of the day, Tierra and I are African Americans and our point of view is a bit different. So what may be enjoyed by a whole group of others,
yes,
may be different for somebody else, right? But
that's right.
It's there and it's available to be consumed. So what we're going to be getting into is Anikulapo. This is actually the series, The Rise of the Spectre, is it? Yeah.
Yep.
And this is a mini series that is spun off from the film. I think the film came out in like 2022, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So not that long ago, which was just Anikulapo. And it starred Kunle Remy. Mm-hmm. As Saro and Bimbo Ademoye as Arolake. And there's a bunch of other people and characters that we'll get into as we go into this review. But Tierra, if you could give the synopsis real quick, and then we're going to check out the trailer for the series.
Absolutely. So here's the synopsis that we have for this series. In a race against time to avoid a dismal fate, traveler Saro returns to Ojumo, where orders to complete a nearly impossible task.
Same thing.
I just had to clarify because, you know, somebody's going to be like, that ain't what it said.
Well, check out this trailer and we'll be right back with our review.
The people and the gods have all come out. They are looking for Arolake, but I am only looking for Saru.
I'm not dead. Please give me a bit of time to live in the world of the living.
There has to be another way. Ow! I can't keep running around.
Your Highness, the witch who used her powers to hold you down. We'll catch her and we'll kill her in the market square.
Hey.
All right, so that was the trailer there. Tierra, I have to ask you. I kind of pushed this on you in a way. Because the truth of the matter is, and I want to know if this resonated as you were watching the series, was that I felt it important to witness a story that was from a time period that we don't really get to see stories being told from, right?
Uh-huh.
So the story of Anikulapo takes place in like... the 17th century, and I think it was the Oyo Empire, which geographically I think that is like the southern part of Benin in like the sort of southwest part. I could be wrong, don't quote me, of what is now Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a just a kingdom at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also during that time period, that empire, surprisingly, if you go and do like research on the actual, because this is a fictional story, of course, but if you do research on the actual empire, this was an empire that really had its legs going when it came down to like the slave trade and so on, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pretty much heavily involved in that. But the series of, you know, doesn't go into that. In fact, the characters in this series seem to have nothing, they don't want nothing to do with the actual, you know, junk. We just get to see African people existing, having their own, you know, personal dialogues, their personal problems and drama and stuff that goes on within their own communities.
Mm-hmm.
So none of the external outside stuff, 17th century period piece. And I just was like, Tiara, you have to see this, if for nothing else, just to see a story being told at that. Because usually for us as African Americans, our stories stop at like the Middle Passage, right? Mm-hmm. And we see those movies and we see right, and I was like, okay, we got to go back further than that. That was my selling point to you.
You did,
to get it. But when you started to watch the series and you checked it out, go from that angle, did it resonate for you? Were you like, did it feel new to you to have seen a story being told from that particular period in this way?
Absolutely. I just want to start off by saying that I appreciate that you sold it to me in that way, because it definitely sold it for me. It was like, okay, I do want to check this out. I want to see a different perspective. I want to see something from a storyline that I've never seen before, a time period that I've never seen before. So I was excited about that. That's what really got me into it. And then I started watching it. Which we can get into, but I will say, yes, you were correct in saying it does do a good job of showing Africa pre all of the shenanigans that we have known to have happened over centuries and over time. So I appreciated that. It was a really cool perspective, and I like that they had that story set in that time period. But we can continue from there.
Yeah. Fair enough. I do think that any Black person outside of Africa or West Africa specifically, mm-hmm. who may not get to see this kind of stuff in their media, I would say definitely check out this just for that fact, because I think that it delivers on something that we don't get to see often. And usually if we get back into, you know, those centuries, we see, you know, they do all kinds of stories about Vikings, or we'll go back to BC and we'll see, you know, the Romans and all, you know, so we get all of those things. We never get to see our people from certain periods. For that reason, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
But let's get to the story here. So with the series, The Rise of Spectre, it follows up. It is a direct sequel from the film.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I was wondering going into the series, is that when the film ends, it's pretty finite. It's pretty much like, you know, hey, this happens. Sorrow dies at the end.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth, right? So it completes its story. So I was just wondering, I was like, what are we going to do in the series to be having a sequel, right? And
yeah,
what I was surprised at, or so I thought, let me say that, was that when this show started out, after we get through those opening credits, they literally answer that question. They're like, okay, this is why we're here, this is the story, and this is how we get into it.
You cannot go through yet.
Why aren't these people passing through?
Are you not Saru? Saru the Clot River, you cannot go through yet until you pay up your debt.
Debt? What kind of debt? I don't owe any debt. even if I owe a debt, how do I repay it?
So they pretty much give that to us straight away. And I was like, okay, cool. So I know what I'm in for the next 5 episodes, because that's episode 1. I thought, Tierra, I thought. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But before we get into why I say I thought, I want to say, starting out, that first scene where we do see him in the afterlife, I do like the take that they took in terms of using like practical effects. You see like the figures that are like covered in like mud and stone, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And I do like the fact that they didn't just like CGI some people in there. You know what I mean? One thing I did not like, because like I said, the practical effects made sense, but I did not like the initial episodes, or really the first episode, where, again, we get right into it. So Sorrow, he's sent back to Earth. He's sort of resurrected and as a ghost, if you will. And you know, when it comes down to stories, whether mythological or present day, whatever, you don't play with death, right? Death is pretty like, hey, look, it's your time. Time's up, baby. And that's how we get here. So what I did not like was that once he was back on Earth, is that he was going around, he was resurrecting, or basically, I'm sorry, re-killing some of the people that he resurrected. And there was an effect that was like a glow around him. Yeah. I did not like it.
I didn't like it.
It was a bit distracting, right?
It was weird. I'm not gonna lie. It was weird. It was weird.
So I did not like that effect, but all the practical stuff I did like. Yeah. That was the old blind woman, Tierra.
Yes. She was tearing that food up, wasn't she?
here's where I started to like question some things and stuff, because I was like, okay, he's on a roll, but he's got to do this 20 times over, right? So we got a long way to go, or it's going to be some. I had an idea of what the series was going to be throughout, right? No, so we get to the old woman.
Yep,
she's blind. However, she more so she can see him, quote unquote. She's aware of his presence. And here's what I did not understand in that logic was, how did she, we know that she was blind, so she sort of had her, you know, inner eyes kind of thing, right? I get that concept. I'll let that fly. But how does she know so much, Tierra? Right?
I don't know. I was confused by that as well. And then I'm gonna keep it a buck, since I didn't watch the movie. I thought, okay, maybe this is a character from the movie who is like known to have these gifts. So hearing you say this now is like, oh, okay. So
no,
that wasn't it. No. Okay,
this was our first time meeting that character.
Okay,
and, I was just thrown off by that. I was just like, yeah, how did she know everything? It just started giving me a lot of questions at that point. Again, I appreciate being able to be in this world that they created and for it to exist and to get to like see some of these characters and so on. But we end up getting into all of these other characters,
baby,
that have either A, nothing to do with Sorrow, or have their own storylines.
Baby.
And we get all of those storylines in depth.
Baby, can we talk about it? Because I thought it was me. I was like, maybe these are people that I should know, because I should have watched the movie like T-Ron told me to. And I was very, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm in the wrong here. Maybe it's me. But come to find out, these are all new characters.
So some of the characters are returning characters.
Yes. Okay.
And they expand on their stories, but there's just some like disconnects there. So a new character that did come up, Bashurin, I think is how they say it. Bashurin was played by Owobo Ogunde. Let me get that right. And side note, this is actually his first role ever. Oh, cool. He's our main villain, our antagonist in this series. But to know that he basically left his corporate job in wherever he lives in England, came to shoot the film, his performance was actually really solid.
Ni awon akidani dani awon ti o se fokan ton awon ni alaafin to fe fun ni omo mi
eti o ti se ileri npe ohun o fun o iku lo ye kuranga ti o ba si setan lati se bi akikoju okunrin ki o fi han bi pe omo mi ni o owo mi ni o fi pa o bo ti rinu.
Out of everyone's performance in the series itself, I think his shone through, which is surprising because, like I said, he had never acted before this.
Do you think he went back to his corporate job?
I think that was an interesting note. Yeah. But we get into his character some. He was a new character. He's just one of the chiefs, and he's trying to get his son. He's trying to convince the king to allow his son to marry one of his daughters, you know, and that's his whole motivation. However, then everyone's attention turns when they start to learn that, you know, Sorrow's not dead. They learn that. They learn that Orolake has amassed some wealth. This is the other thing, too. I did not understand why Orolake, who in the film was ousted, none of the other queens liked her. They set her up. They lied on her. She did not want to be with the king. She didn't want to sleep with him ever. She was pretty much against it. So when she left, sure, Sorrow died, but she ended up meeting the other guy. Let me see if I can remember his name. Akin. She ended up meeting Akin along the way, who's played by Gabriel Ofalayan.
Mm-hmm.
And these names are naming for me.
You got but it.
she ends up meeting Akin, and they amass wealth. They do well. They become close companions. He's got her back to a fault. However, the rest of the middle part of the series, she's wanting to go back to Oyo. She's wanting to go back to Oyo Town and be around the kid. It made no sense to me.
Until you get there. I know what is on your mind is to seduce the king and make him sleep with you.
Akin, how does this concern you? Anyone who comes and sees you in this state will think I'm your wife.
Shouldn't it be so? Or am I not good enough as a man?
You had everything you needed. It didn't make sense. Another thing that didn't make any sense, Tierra, at the end of the movie, they age her up to look older.
Okay.
In the series, even though it's supposed to be further, even further into the future, she looks as young as she did at the beginning of the movie. It's the.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. She was already an older woman at the end of the movie. So I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's just a lot of questions there. I do want to always give a shout out to Solo Sobowale. Anytime she's in anything, and I tell people this all the time, when I first started watching Nollywood films, she was a constant. I would always see her, even in like before it was really getting its shine, right? When I was watching with just like subtitles that I don't even know if the subtitles were correct.
Lord.
I would always see this woman. Yeah. You know, actively doing her thing. And she appears in the series. She's more prominent. She's in a more prominent role in the movie. But she appears in the series later. And her performance is solid, of course. She's always going to knock it out of the park. But it's just left me with a lot of questions in the end. Before we give our rating, let me just say, since we are doing a Nollywood feature, our rating system has slightly changed. It's still 1 through 5, granted. However, we are going to shed light and give some love to some of Nollywood's finest by changing our actors to Nollywood actors. So, yes.
Yes. So what I'll do is give the Nollywood actor's name and then give the equivalent for our viewers and listeners who are not as familiar. So thank you for that. So yeah, again, I had a good time with the costumes. I loved seeing that. I liked the attention to detail as it relates to how the characters looked, and how they fit the time period. Really appreciate that. I didn't see anybody walking around with a Starbucks cup or, you know, like a cell phone. Love that. Because that happens. That happens sometimes. And you're like, hold on. So I really appreciated that. But I'm not going to lie to you. I struggled with the story. I had to get myself together because I said I should listen to Iran. I should have watched that movie. However, sitting here listening to you lets me know that even if I watched that movie, I would still be confused. So maybe not as confused.
Questions would be different. You would still have questions. They'd just be different.
They would be different. But yeah, the quick transitions from like one character to the next was a lot for me. And then also, you know, some of the reactions and the overacting when Sarah was going through and unaliving people, some of the reactions were a little bit extra. But I know that that comes with, you know, some of the Nollywood films. So I'm rambling, but I'm going to go ahead and give my rating. So I'll give the American actor rating, and it's going to be a Jennifer Lewis. And for our Nollywood actor, this is going to be Elsita Ihime. Mm-hmm. Did I get that right?
Pow Pow.
That's right. Pow Pow. Got it.
I agree with much of what you said. I enjoyed being in this world. I do, like I said, we don't see it enough, so I do greatly appreciate a period piece of Africans not being bothered by colonialism and just doing their own thing, whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm. So I enjoy it for that aspect. And when I learned that the series was coming, I was like, okay, bet, because the film ended up being really enjoyable. Like I said, it ended, and I was okay with how it ended. I think everybody was. And I was like, what are they going to do? I thought they were going to do a prequel. I thought it was going to be like the story before, which would have gave them more freedom to do stuff. But they wanted to continue the story, and they probably shouldn't have, because it just left me with a lot of questions. A couple of letdowns, but other than that, visually, it was great. I enjoyed a lot of the performances. Again, you have first-time performers giving, like, masterclasses and, like, villainy, right? So everything was really well done. Mm-hmm. Nothing looked bad or cheesy for that period. It just all came together in that way. But a continuum of a story that already existed that was well done, it let me down a little too much. I'm going to go slightly above you. So I am going to give it a Queen Latifah.
Okay.
But in this case, I'm going to give it a Funke Akindele. Because of, I think that what they put intention behind was executed well. The like you said, the attention to detail, all those things were really well done. And I think that there was there was a level of respect put on these characters in this time period that you do not get to see, right?
Yeah.
It was just the story itself that kept me from going even harder. But I enjoyed it. I'm not upset that I watched it. I'm not like, I don't feel like I wasted time. You know, sometimes you have that feeling like, dang, I can't get that time back. I don't feel like that.
Yeah.
So I think that Funke is where it's at for me. Well, I have been too. I do appreciate you all joining us for our first Nollywood feature. And if you're watching this, you made it this far, go ahead and leave a comment on the video. Like, subscribe, comment, share and share alike. Okay. Again, this is a two-way street. Mm-hmm. And we do better if we are sharing this around. Share this like you share that video of that famous celebrity that don't even know you exist. Is that it? You can find me on all social media. You can find me on Instagram at T-Ron World, on TikTok at T-Ron with 2 underscores, and you can find Ubiquitous Blacks all over the social medias as well. Just go somewhere and type in Ubiquitous Blacks. You can also email us recommendations, sharing the love, questions, concerns. If you want to be a guest, whatever, we're going to open it all up. Email us ubiquitousblacks@gmail.com. okay, Tiara, where can they find you?
Yes, you can also find me at All Things Ubiquitous Blacks, but also on my Instagram. It's at Tiara Takes _ at TIERATAKES _. And same thing for Gmail. So TiaraTakes@gmail.com. And like T-Ron said, please send us some recommendations as well as some love. If you're into Nollywood films, I would like to watch
You are in Nigeria, or if you're a fan of Nollywood films and you know of something that you want to recommend us,
that's good.
I want to welcome it.
It better be good. Send us good stuff.
Let it be the wilder and crazier, the better for me.